honourable members, minister, DG, and all the officials from the department. I think we should start. They can continue trying to fix this. We have the document. We have the slides printed, so can talk to the slides and then we can make notes on them. As we always do, start by introducing ourselves. My name is Lindwe Masayo, chairperson of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Nick Kornoff, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Annelie Lopez, member of the committee.
Good morning, Chantal King, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Agnes Stuck, member of the committee.
Morning, Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of this committee. Thanks.
We have an apology from Honourable Kekana, Honourable Mfuno, and Honourable Ndongeni. As we know that all committees are meeting now, and also West Tuesday is not usually our day, so other committees are also meeting. So we will make with what we have and continue, and we will brief them. Thank you very much. You are most welcome. We can have all the introductions, and then so that you can get rid of them. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, colleagues. Mamoluko Kuba Ngubami, Minister of Science and Technology.
Thank you, honourable Chair and honourable members. Philip Chwaha, the DG, Science and Technology.
Good morning, honourable members. Tommy Makore, DDG Institutional Planning and Support at the DST.
Good morning, honourable members, Minister. Rufuno Marwara, advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, honourable Chair and members, Minister. I'm Thomas Opterheide. I'm Deputy Director General. Minister, thank you. I'm responsible for the program called Research, Development and Support, which is responsible, amongst other things, for the operations of the National Research Foundation.
Makonde.
Amongst others, honourable members, I'm responsible for the document that we are presenting today, the annual report and entities that report to the TSD. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members. Minister, I'm Don de Twey. I'm a Deputy Director General responsible for international cooperation and resources.
Good morning, honourable members, Chair and the Minister. I'm Dr. Ratombo Muchinyalo, responsible with monitoring and evaluation at the department. Thanks.
Good morning, honourable members, Chair and Minister. Nomkosi Peter, responsible for strategy and planning at the DST.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and the Minister. My name is Priti Magugule, the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister. My name is Mboneni Mwope, the Deputy Director General for Technology Innovation, responsible for hydrogen and energy, bioeconomy, space science and technology, National Intellectual Property Management Office, and also the Innovation Priorities Instruments. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, Minister. I am Nobuyise Lomakwe, and I am responsible for corporate services.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister and the committee. Program 5, I'm the DDG for Program 5, Socioeconomic Innovation Partnerships, which includes areas like wastewater, innovation for inclusive development, R&D tech incentives, etc. I've had the privilege of presenting to the committee on a number of these programs. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. Paul Masemola, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer to the Minister.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Elia Matikane from the CSIR Parliamentary Office.
Thank you very much, members. You're most welcome to the meeting. We are to receive a briefing by the Department of Science and Technology on annual performance plan and the budget for 2018-2019. I'll give over to the Minister to take it through.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. I think let me take this opportunity firstly to appreciate the warm welcome and the support from the Portfolio Committee and members since the appointment. As well, Chair, I just want to make some few remarks before the team led by the DG presents the actual documents. We have circulated, or we have tabled before the speakers required by the law. The department, together with the entities, its annual performance plan together with that goes with the budget for approval by Parliament. Chair, I would like to just first to highlight that what we're bringing before Parliament, the department, is linked to, one, what has been done over years by the government in terms of ensuring that there is level of stability, there's level of certainty, and work that has literally seen this portfolio flourish over years. The successes of the implementation of the 2006 White Paper, where we currently in the process, and we'll be talking to that, currently in the process of amending that together with the Science and Technology Laws Amendment Bill, that will be coming before the committee. But again, within the same period of this year, we'll be looking at the review of the DECADAL plan. Chair, I think one of the things, before I make a mistake, not to really confirm perhaps what you would have read, the renewal of our Director General's contract with effect of the 1st of April 2018 for 3 years. I think it's one of what we should appreciate, his knowledge and expertise and quite good stewardship in directing the portfolio as the accounting officer for the portfolio of the department, together with looking, overseeing the team. That's why I wanted as well the team to introduce themselves. Chair, part of what is important and why we want to achieve actually in terms of the work that is being done with the White Paper is to ensure that there's policy certainty going forward. As you know, science and technology environment is one of the areas that we have to keep up every time. And the review process allows us to reflect properly in terms of our current environment and where we want to go. Obviously, building on the successes of what we can be able to look back and say we've been able to achieve, and perhaps towards the end of the year during the BRRR, we will be reflecting on some of the achievements and the work that has been done. But, Chair, one of the things, again, that we have to re-emphasize is in the process of review that we are doing in the legislation as well as with the policies to ensure that we synchronize our work. Policy certainty arises when everybody knows where to find what. If you have a policy that everybody can go and say, in order for you to understand what is being done in science and technology, I need to go to this document because it will give me an overview. That's what we want to do. Possibly synchronize some of this work that you are doing and create a stable environment going forward. But we believe that we have a bigger role to play as science and technology within the context of South Africa, especially in the economic space. So part of what we'll be doing with the White Paper is to be able to say how do we reposition ourselves as the department to be able to play a key and meaningful role in directing the future economic growth of the country, either through industrialization, either through beneficiation, but going to synchronize all those work and bringing for and becoming as part of our innovation. And I think, Chair, if we are to look at what the World Bank recently released, I think it's this week, in terms of South Africa's economic outlook, where they were obviously saying what we are projecting in the NDP is likely not to be able to achieve. But part of the issues that they are raising at World Bank is to say to us, how do what are the chances of South Africa to be able to achieve what we want to see? Initially, we had projected around 5% of economic growth. We are saying for us to have a turnaround on our economy, to have the jobs that we want, to have everything that we want, we need almost around 8% of economic growth. But the issue for us, if we are to have that, one of the critical areas they are saying and reflecting is what we've been doing at Science and Technology, pushing around innovation. Paying attention to innovation will be able to assist South Africa to get out. And that's why we're saying we need to be able to reflect objectively, and the process of our policy review must assist us to do that. Chair, we are excited that we are tabling this plans in line of what within this year we'll be able to do. The hosting of BRICS Summit, the hosting of SADC ministerial, obviously the ministerial meetings of BRICS with related meetings that we think we'll be able to bring to the fore what we are and showcase what South Africa is doing and what South Africa has potential of. And obviously most of the work we have to do around partnership. So that is what we are excited about for this year, together with our upcoming launch of the SKA, which will come into detail to the committee for. But the environmental issues that we need to take cognizance of, Chair, is that we have to be conscious and deliberate in our action in dealing with issues of transformation in the sector. They will not happen out of osmosis. So in the work that we do as the department, we have to be very conscious, we have to drive it, because without the inclusion of the majority in the mainstream economy of our country, our economic growth and our economic development is not sustainable, and our country's stability is not sustainable. So we have to ensure that even in what we do as science and technology, bringing ourselves to the center, we have to ensure that transformation becomes an agenda that is consciously driven and deliberately driven. Another issue that we have to assist ourselves and consciously do is ensuring that access to science and technology, information and activities for rural and township communities remains a critical path that we have to take as this department and our entities. It has to be something, it is a challenge, but it has to be something that we do. So part of what we are going to have to do in this area, in this financial year, Chair, is to be able to put those programs, the grassroots, in terms of science and technology to our fore and making sure that it becomes a reality. Part of the issues, again, is the global competitiveness, that we have to remain global competitive, but equally, again, we have to be able to utilize innovation and look at what we can be able to do, our issues of patent registering. I saw again, Chair, recently, and we'll share with the committee, some of these global ratings and global reports that come through. I was going through the global report as well that was looking at patent registration. We're not doing well compared to our BRICS partners. Obviously, some of them have been doing quite a lot of work over years, and because we are a developing country, we'll trail behind. But utilizing the opportunity of us participating in the BRICS, in BRICS platform, what is it that we can be able to draw from this partnership that will assist us to come into the fourth and become part of the players and at the forefront, where we should be able to start finding ourselves at least around the top 10 of global countries. Chair, I normally don't like complaining, but one thing that I have to do, and I think my team will be disappointed if I don't flag this, the environment around our budget process is a bit concerning for us as science and technology. Sustainable funding for both the department and its entities remains a key driver of our success. And the current environment, obviously, will engage at cabinet point of view, but we are flagging it for the portfolio committee to note. Our work is not the work that would see the results over a year. In order for us to produce the number of PhDs that we want to do, we have to fund them over a period of time. In order for us to see the innovation, a project that is funded has to happen over a period of time. Now, part of the challenge that we are seeing in the portfolio chair and members is that we commit, for example, to a number of PhDs per year. Now, if our budgets are cut in the middle, for example, of a 5-year, 6-year, 7-year project or PhD, it makes it difficult. How do we deal with it? Because you can't say after you have committed over a year to say, we're funding 500 PhDs. Then after 3 years, then you cut. So this is what we are saying, that the blanket approach by Treasury on cutting budget is not conducive for our portfolio. And we're thinking that, Chair, and this is my appeal to the portfolio committee as you write your reports, perhaps Treasury needs to find a mechanism of saying, in dealing with portfolios like science and technology, how do you try and at what point can you cut a budget after having an MTF commitment? Because we look at those MTF commitments and we make commitments towards our work. Now, if they get revised and cut, and we understand the policy says that we can, but are we need to be cognizant of the impact in terms of our work. So that's what I'm talking about, the reduction of budget allocation during the MTF period. And we're not blind to the economic challenges, but we are saying equally while we are not blind to the economic challenges, let's not be blind to the impact of our work, and because it becomes difficult to reprioritize in the areas that we are doing. Another issue that we are saying that we need to really work on, and with the team we are looking at, a need for us to rigorously and aggressively push for increase in investment in R&D. For South Africa to get out of where it is, for economic growth to happen, you can go and look at a number of countries as an example. Their success is on the basis of the amount of time, money, and consciously investing in research and development. The current allocation or the current spending of the country across both government and the private sector, where it's sitting is not sustainable for the country. So this is part of what we want to aggressively advocate for, that we need to see an increase in R&D. Let it not be that when we face economic difficulties, the first thing that we cut is research and development, because it impacts on your future growth. So that's one of the things that we want to flag, Chair, and the team, DG, perhaps maybe in a later time when we release the reports as well, but they can speak into this. But I think it's something that we have to, and we are appealing we would do with more voices in this area, because it doesn't seem like we stronger in the voice. The last area I want to speak to, Chair, is around our entities. From the executive point of view, leading the portfolio, I know you will be interacting with the entities. Just to say from our side, we've interacted with the entities, all of them, except an NRF and ASAF. And part of what normally I do as the executive member, I meet the full board, then later have bi-monthly meetings with chairs and CEOs. But mainly the CEOs will meet directly with the DG, and I would have interactions with the board chairpersons. So we've done that interaction of first just sitting around the table with the entities to say, where are we and what is it that we need to do for this financial year and going forward? What are the issues that we are concerned about, and what is it that we think we should be paying attention to? And I must say it is commendable that majority of our entities are stable and performing well. And what is that that we are concerned about? Two entities specifically that I think will need close attention from our side, which is, and I'm saying this up front because I believe, Chair, in my work, since being a member of the executive, one thing that I've learned, maybe because I've been in the oversight side for some time, I believe in accountability and transparency upfront. That give members of parliament comfort that there is nothing that you're putting under the table. where we're doing wrong, Chair, we'll be upfront to say this is are the areas that are concerning for us. And where we are doing well, obviously, would gloat and allow us to gloat about the areas we are doing well. It's only human because we have to continuously encourage ourselves as well where we are doing well. So, Chair, definitely the team has been doing well in terms of oversight over the entities. There are areas that we have to strengthen ourselves as well from the department, especially the areas of monitoring of the finances management. While we will not interfere with the entities, but we think that more stringent oversight is needed to make sure that we do not, I mean, quite a number of entities in the public sector have not been doing well, and over time, not here, but globally. And we are saying, let's not wait until it happens to us. Let's learn lessons out of the other public sector entities. What has gone wrong there? What is it that we can do, put up front from our side, to avoid that we don't get into trouble? Chair, there are issues that I think over time, concerns around here, we have to pay attention more. We've met with the team. I'm comfortable with the board that is there. Quite good board, focused with the required skills that we need. What we need to pay attention, Chair, I must say that the acting positions at executive level, we've agreed with the board that will give them 6 months to prioritize to filling of those vacancies. From our side as the executive and the department, we are very clear on that because we understand for an entity to perform effectively, you need people who are permanent on the, who are appointed either with contracts, but who would be able to be held accountable and can act with authority. Chair, we are concerned about the financial sustainability of CSIR and HSRC. Obviously, there are issues that maybe later and they can share with you tomorrow. And that remains our priority. Obviously, from our side as the portfolio, as the department and as minister, we'll have to look at how do we ensure, because these are entities that are doing well. HSRC, in terms of its responsibility within the humanities, is very critical. And the work that they are doing around poverty elevation and reduction of inequality is important. But the reduction or the decreasing of income is a concern for its future sustainability. So we'll have to, we've given ourselves some time to say, let's sit around the table, the team, technical team, we'll have to look at what is it that we can do to help them. Together with CSIR, CSIR in terms of its work, Chair, is doing very well. And has a critical role to play for South Africa. And for us to be able to achieve most of the things that we want to do, CSIR can help us. But part of the issue in terms of its income is important, how we do that. But equally, one of the things that we had to look at, how they run their projects and how the reporting and the funds management will have to be paid attention to. So that will remain a priority in terms of that because the, its success, its financial sustainability is critical for us. So how they identify partner, how they do their contracts, but equally, how they are able to recover their resources and how they are able to account and record their financials is important. And I'm saying this because my responsibility is to ensure that in the spirit of transparency and accountability, there's never a time where any of our entities' books will have a question mark. In SAMHSA, one of the concerns we've met with them, I think we have some opportunity to correct some of the things. One of the things I need to highlight up front, I've requested a detailed report on EOSET 1 project. There are things I'm concerned about around that project. And in the spirit of transparency and accountability, Once we have looked at that project, we'll account to the portfolio committee. I'm saying this up front, Chair, so that you understand that our oversight role over this entity is there, and where we have concerns, we'll obviously flag them with them as well as with the portfolio committee. Chair, there are observations that from a distance I have made with NRF and ASAF. However, because I've not had the opportunity to sit with the leadership of those entities, we'll discuss with the portfolio committee in later date. Because one of the things that we want to see, Chair, is that level of accountability, transparency, but good governance across the portfolio and the entities. But as I said earlier on, Chair, the synchrony in how we do our work, it shouldn't be, and how we oversight, do our oversight, shouldn't be that we are comfortable that this is not happening. Part of the issues is that they always say prevention is better than cure. Where we think that we might end up in trouble, we have to address them immediately and deal with them so that we don't end up there. But stringent oversight over the entities, it's very important. And that will have to be done through the department where our entity oversight, led by DDG Tommy, will have to sit constantly with the teams. And part of the message I'm saying to the entities as well is that what is recommended and what is being given by the team has to be at the level of understanding the role that the department has to play. We had an incident, Chair, where we picked up that the department has raised concerns with some of the issues, especially at SANSA, in terms of its annual performance plan. And that was not corrected. To the point that, Chair, I must say up front that we will be writing, I don't know if that has come already. It's coming. We need to sign it urgently before today, the end of today, Chair, because there are amendments we have to do. When we interacted with SANSA, we picked up that SANSA has amended its strategic plan. And you'd know that strategic plan is for, it has to be aligned to MTEF. The alignment has been outside the MTEF. But equally, now, we would have had to evaluate the APP versus the five-year plan. Now, the current tabled APP is outside the strategic plan. So when we met with them, we had to correct that, to say you can never have a misalignment between your strategic objectives, a strategic plan, together with your annual performance plan, because with a portfolio, that's how you evaluate our work. So you'd always, every time, have to have those documents. Now, if they are not aligned, the APP is no longer in line with what we have tabled as the strategic plan. Now, it makes it difficult for Parliament to evaluate our work. So we have to recorrect that to make sure that what we table and every strategic plan, because the APP that was approved is in line with the strategic plan that is not approved by the Minister, Minister Pandor. So I had a problem with that. So we engaged with the team, and then they gave me an account of what happened. We looked at it. I did have a discussion with the board and the members that were there together with the executive, but later had a discussion even telephonically with the board chairperson just to make them understand that there's never a time we can have the alignment. So I did allow the DDG responsible to engage with the CEO to try and bring the understanding between the department and the entity to synchronize so that the work is not misaligned. So this is what we are reflecting, Chair, as I'm saying up front as the minister, just saying these are the things that we are just bringing before the committee. Obviously, the team will go into detail, but just to give an overview from the executive authority point of view on the things. Chair, there's so much good work that is being done by the department, our oversight that we're doing, our outreach to the generation that is coming, that our future leaders saw in the science and technology. But I'm saying, from where I'm sitting, quite a number of things, and we'll pronounce a lot of things and what we think should be happening going forward in our budget speech, to say how do we want to be conscious about building the next layer of leadership in the science and technology. what are the things that we want to see in ensuring the transformation within the sector so that it doesn't become something that we speak about but without putting actions into it. So that's what we are here, Chair. Fortunate for me, being in this portfolio, having a veteran DG, one of the senior DGs in government, it's a privilege because it helps, Chair, to have that synchrony of the work, and you can have at least a sleep. You have a sleep, peaceful sleep, knowing that the department is in capable hands. Over to you, DG.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I apologise. It seems like the IT system is not getting ready for. No, sincere apologies, but thanks very much, Honourable Chair and members and Minister, for the opening words. So we'll start with a slide that talks about the presentation outline, Honourable Members, and I've checked, you've told me that we have the same version of the presentation. So what we hope to do is to share the purpose of the presentation with you, and then just to share the planning context within which this APP was developed. We also felt, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that maybe we should give some highlights of performance for the targets that are articulated in the current strategic plan. So we'll go through those in much more detail, because that first part gives a context within which the APP is being presented. And then we'll delve into the APP with three parts. Part A, that looks at the strategic overview, the detailed program performance information. Even there, we will try and show where we are in 2018-19 in relation to the previous 4 years, and then the targets anticipated for the last year of the strategic plan 1920. And then we'll also give links to other plans and the details of the entities a little bit. And then there are some amendments that we've requested on the strategic plan, more around the formulation of some of the targets, and then just a quick financial overview. So on slide number 3, we are here to present, as the Minister has indicated, the 18-19 annual performance plan to yourself as a portfolio committee. And then starting then with the first slide that talks about the planning context, we still are of the opinion, and NDP and the 9-point plan concurs with us, that science, technology and innovation is a key element in advancing economic growth and driving social change. We also like to alert the committee to the fact that there is some increase in the budget, but not significantly, as we will show a little later on. We are still grateful, of course, that we haven't had huge cuts like other departments have received, but nevertheless, the budget has remained relatively flat. We also have, and I think in a number of instances, indicated the growing vacancy rate, and this is a concern from us. The Minister has also asked us, and we are trying to work out the plan on how we're going to make sure that we have adequate staff to continue the work. And then we just want to again reiterate the current work that we are involved in the policy space. The Science, Technology and Innovation Institutional Landscape Review, we have not presented this work to the Portfolio Committee, but I think in the program it's coming in the next 3 weeks, which is work that is trying to say, since 1996, our institutions haven't grown, and if we want to expand the national system of innovation, how and what are the institutions that we should think about as either new institutions or reconfigured institutions. And then we are almost at the end of the new white paper on science and technology. We presented this to the Minister 2 weeks ago. Minister made some comments, so we are cleaning that up, and I think we'll be ready very, very soon to take it to Cabinet, and then ultimately, of course, to yourself as a portfolio committee. We've started to think about a decadal plan that will then flow from the intentions that the white paper would be indicating. The National Advisory Council on Innovation is developing a framework on how this plan will be developed, and then we'll fill in the meat in consultation, of course, with our entities and the stakeholders. And in doing that, we will review the two strategies, which is the National Research and Development Strategy of 2002, excuse me, and the 10-year innovation plan. So those are all things that are trying to help us to think where to from here. There are also other legislative planning set of issues that we want to bring to the portfolio's attention. The National Treasury Framework for APP and STRAT plans, we use that to guide ourselves. The National Development Plan, of course, and the 9-point plan. The evolving planning environment across government, the MPET standards, the mandate paper, which is led by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and then the planning bill. And I think these two are very, very important in the context of what the minister has said. How do we perhaps in these documents ensure that innovation, science and technology is not funded in a cyclical way, but maybe it's one of those cross-cutting areas that have a base funding that continues to make sure that, of course, when cuts are made, but there is a constant funding for science and technology. So we are watching these developments very, very carefully. And then, of course, we have to make sure that the APP strategic plan and the estimates of national expenditure from Treasury are all aligned. And then on slide number 6, we're just reminding the Portfolio Committee of the 5 programs of the department. Program 1, Administration, 2, Technology Innovation, 3, International Cooperation, 4, Research Development Support, and Socio-Economic Partnerships. Slide number 7 again reminds ourselves the vision, which is an increased well-being and prosperity through science, technology, and innovation. A mission to provide leadership and enabling environment and resources for science, technology, and innovation in support of South Africa's development, and the values within which we carry this work, which is professionalism, innovation, ethical behavior, and knowledge sharing. So just to go through the highlights, selected performance for the 15-20 strategic plan, the next set of slides are just reminding the committee of our strategic outcome-oriented goals, the first one being a responsive, coordinated, and an efficient national system of innovation, followed by increased knowledge generation, human capital development, using knowledge for economic development, and using knowledge for development. So on the first strategic outcome-oriented goal, so I'm now on slide number 14, the goal statement is over the next 5 years, build on previous gains to create a responsive, coordinated, and official national system of innovation. And progress that have been made, we have on many occasions talked about this white paper, the review of the science and technology innovation institutional landscape. The National Advisory Council on Innovation is recently conducting the foresight exercise that will inform the decadal plan. And then we've started engaging with Treasury on the budget coordination mechanism for deploying funding to the science councils, especially those that do not report to the Minister of Science and Technology. So we continue to work with Treasury on how those resources could be deployed. On the second one, which is increased knowledge generation, over the next 5 years, maintain and increase the relative contribution of South African researchers to global scientific output, which is a significant measure of not only the knowledge that is generated, but that it does contribute to the global scientific output. We then have slide number 16 that shows that in year 17-18, even though we don't have audited numbers, if you look at 15 and 16, 16 and 17, we have a cumulative total of 12,698. The target is 22,578. We then have a variance of 9,000, which we believe in this financial year with 4,500 targets planned, and the next financial year we should be able to meet this target of strategic oriented outcome goal 2. on the researchers' research articles published by researchers in South Africa. We will be looking at this target very, very carefully, because if we assume this year we will produce about 7,000, the total then at 15,000 as a cumulative, we still need to produce about 34,000, as I say, assuming that we still this year going to verify the number. This target is at moderate risk, and we will be working closely with the entities to see whether we can ramp up some of the numbers in the next 2 years to meet the target. On the articles co-published with researchers on the African continent, this target was set for 2020 at 4,306, and the 15-16 and 16-17 suggest that we have in fact gone above the target at 5,393, which means the target has been achieved. You will realize that for 17, 18, 18 and 19 and 19-20 there are no numbers, because we are reviewing the way in which we set the target. We've also received a review of how this information has been gathered in the past, so we didn't want to put targets that are not informed, Chair. So even though we've overachieved this, we just want to look carefully for 18, 19 and 19-20. But for 18 and 19, I'll ask Dan later on to just give a sense of those numbers, because we do have them. On the human capital development, over the next 5 years, increase the number of high-level graduates and improve their representativity. We think we will meet this target. Again, we show that we are sitting at 10,453, and we think that in the next 2 years we should be able to meet the deficit of just over 5,000 to meet the target. So we are fine with that. On the increase the number of high-level graduates and improve their representativity, again, we hope we will meet this target. If you add the 3 years at 30,000 to achieve 54,000, we just have to get 24,000, and the 2 years hopefully indicate we will meet the target. On the graduates and students that are placed in science, engineering and technology institutions by March, so these are interns. Again, we hope that this target will be met. Again, we indicate the cumulative target at 2,953 achieved, and we think that we should be able to get the 1,247 in the next year. Also, on the outreach program, where we use science engagement to reach just over 2.1 million people through our science engagement activities, we are on course to reach that target. We usually reach, as you can see on the numbers, on the average 2 million people. Science Week plays a very, very important role in that target, and in the next 2 years we'll continue to do that. So again, we think that the target will be met. We sincerely apologize that when we're looking at the presentation on the Strategic Outcome Oriented Goal 4, we did not include it in the presentation. I will ask Mr. Patel to talk about that, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, maybe at the end of the presentation, so I don't lose you on the slides that we have. And then on Strategic Outcome Oriented Goal number 5, the one where we look at using knowledge for inclusive development, over the next 5 years, accelerate inclusive development through scientific knowledge, evidence, and appropriate technology. Most of the targets here will be reached. The first strategic-oriented outcome indicator that we use here is the one where, over the next 5 years, accelerate inclusive development through scientific knowledge, evidence, and appropriate technology. Again, we can see that the target for 2020 was 10, and we think that we are on course to meet this target. We have on the annex provided the detailed decision support instruments that we have been providing to support government. And then the same with proxy indicator 2 that looks at contribution of technology-based opportunities for local economic development introduced or strengthened in at least 5 distressed municipalities. This is the work that we identified in collaboration with COCTA, we think that we'll be again on target. So just to move on, honorable members, to slide number 28, which looks at the annual performance plan. We again are on the fourth year of implementation of the strategic plan. We have, through the minister and in consultation with the AG and Treasury, made some amendments to the strategic plan, and we will share those with you at the end of the presentation. And this APP contains 23 strategic objectives accompanied by 47 strategic performance indicators. On slide number 29, we indicate that we have prioritized 7 policy initiatives for 2018-19 fiscal year. The first is human capital development, which support outcome 5 of government. One of the initiatives that we are working on is modeling towards the realization of the NTP targets, a target of 100 PhDs per million of the population. We just want to see, first of all, whether this target that was in the NTP will be reached, and if we have to reach this target, what would it take for us to reach the target? So we are doing the modeling in collaboration with the NRF so that we can indicate whether this target will be reached or not with substance in terms of the numbers that we'll be crunching. So we think this is important. And then globally, there's discussion about open science as well as open innovation. So we want to develop a science policy, open science policy, that will inform how our scientists need to operate in this environment. It's a fairly disruptive policy that I think is happening globally, because data that used to be available at cost to other researchers is being made freely available. And therefore, we need to start to think about how does this impact our institutions, some that derive income from making their data available. Just to give an example, the South African Weather Service survived by selling its data. If you're saying data must be open in a global environment, what does it mean for an entity like that? Just one example. There are many, many, many others. What does it mean to other institutions within South Africa that want to use data from one institution in order to do their work? So it's a very important piece of work that we've started to prioritize. And again, when we have finalized this, we'll come and share it with the portfolio committee. We've talked about the white paper, which is a document that signals government intention in setting the long-term policy direction for South Africa to ensure growing role for science, technology, and innovation in a more prosperous and inclusive society. One of the presentations, Honorable Chair and members, that will be presented to yourself, I've seen on the schedule, is the Fourth Industrial Revolution. We had a discussion with Mr. Patel this morning because we'll be sharing this with the minister. It actually has scary things if you think about what it will mean to the society and the 27% unemployment that we have. So we need to really start to grapple with this, and these are some of the things that we want to find a way in the white paper to make sure that South Africa is ready and doesn't get left behind. The steel review, we have talked about this. Again, this will be presented, and then the decadal plan, as we've indicated. We are also advanced with the establishment of the Sovereign Innovation Fund as a public-private partnership fund for accelerating the financing of ideas to commercialization. And we are extremely grateful that National Treasury and the Department of Small Business have agreed to partner with the Department of Science and Technology to look at funding innovative ventures and small medium enterprises that use innovation to develop products. I think, Minister, there is probably a meeting in the next couple of days for ministers to be briefed about the size of the fund and how it's going to work. But this is the first phase of a bigger fund that we want to develop in collaboration with the private sector so that we don't lose innovations that come from South Africa. And then, again, I've seen on the schedule for the committee that you will be briefed on the development of a strategy for the uptake of locally developed technologies. One of the concerns that we have is that sometimes There are technologies that the National System of Innovation develops, but the uptake by other government departments is not as ideal as we would like it to be. I think recently the topic has been the young person who passed away because he fell in a pit toilet, and yet there are alternative sanitation technologies that we are developing, and we will wish to make sure that in the social infrastructure some of these are incorporated in other government departments. So if we now move into the detailed APP performance information, we show the performance indicators for each of the programs and how they have been evolving over the number of years. This is shown on slide on page 17. And then under administration, we continue to ensure that the strategic plans and APPs for ourselves as a DST and our entities are approved on time, and the shareholder compact of the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. So again, we have the 17-18 target, and then 18-19 and 19-20. We continue to work, as the Minister indicated, fairly closely with the entities to make sure these are submitted on time and according to all the frameworks of government. The new target that we have include is the target on assurance, combined assurance report. Now, this is a system that is being developed, I think, in the accounting profession to make sure that you have the risk committee, the audit committee, as well as ourselves as a department working in unison to develop internal controls of making sure that you have early detection of issues that could lead to bad audit outcomes. So we have included this to make sure that we check that the audit plans, for instance, that are developed are based on the risks that have been identified, and that therefore the audit committee monitors what the internal audit develops as a risk plan or an audit plan based on the risk, and that we as a department are held accountable and we follow on the Auditor General's findings of the previous year on an ongoing basis. And then on the media articles written to raise the profile of the department, this year we hope to have 24, but again we have included for your information 16, 17, 17, 18 unaudited in the plan, so we think again we will continue to reach these articles. We will be negotiating with the Minister that we start not only worrying about the articles, but whether these articles are making impact. Are we getting people excited about science and technology? And one of the reasons why we are amending the NRF Act to make sure that SASTA plays this role is to really move into not just the articles, but also their impact. And then the public participation programs, again, that we held, we track them, and we think we will be on target. We have 10 planned for this year. I think the Minister has already been involved in one, and I think there's another one coming up this weekend if nothing changes in the Northwest. We continue to ensure that we planned for an unqualified audit opinion. In fact, our ambition is to get a clean audit, and we hope that this year we will get one, so we continue to work on this. And then if we move to Program 2, the number of initiatives that are funded in support of utilizing knowledge, we have 21 planned for this year. Again, we show 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We think we will meet the target. On the knowledge output, so these are patents and demonstrators that are generated, we're planning 149 for 18-19. Again, looking at the numbers for the strategic plan, we think we will achieve this. On the policy directives in designated areas in support of economic sectors, we continue to have 5 planned for this year. And then we also track the number of new disclosures that are reported by institutions, because this is an early signal that the knowledge that is generated could have economic benefits. We track these. This year we are planning to have 220. These are tracked by the National Intellectual Property Management Office. So, Minister, the point you made about patents being low, this is an early indicator of whether we are changing that direction. So we continue to work with NIPMON to do that. And then on the recommendations that are made to the GMO Executive Council through the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we hope to continue to support that 100%. Decision support interventions developed or maintained. These are things like the Bioenergy Atlas and other initiatives. So we're planning two this year, informing shale gas using science and technology, for instance. These are examples. And then the number of postgraduate students that are supported through the areas that are funded in this program, 340 for this year. And then again, we also show the numbers for next year as well as going back. And then the number of people that we train in initiatives in designated areas, mainly in the intellectual property management space, we hope to have 240 this year. Knowledge application products funded in designated areas, mainly the work that we finance through Tier 6 plan for this year, and the commercial outputs that we hope to get this year is 3, and we hope we'll meet the target. On Program 3, the International Cooperation and Resources, the first indicator is the amount of money that international funds directly invest in our research, development, and innovation system. We hope to attract just over 440 million rand this year. We hope we'll be in target. And then the second indicator is the amount of funds invested by international partners in their own organizations, but targeted at cooperation with ourselves, 280 million for this year. In the number of South African students that are accepted in international training programs, 650 planned for 18-19, and then the number of international partner organizations collaborating with South African partners with formalized framework for collaborative research innovation projects, 550. And then again, continuing with international resources, number of dedicated international technical exchanges, 25 that are planned for this year, number of research innovation cooperation projects co-funded and supported in kind, 80 this year. The amount of international funds directly invested in African, regional and continental research, science and technology, human capital development, 90 million this year. And then the number of AU or SADC science, technology, and innovation initiatives, projects, government frameworks endorsed by AU, 17 this year, and in particular the issue of the SADC industrialization program that we are supporting. On the number of formally recorded decisions made in intergovernmental SDI forums with a direct bearing on resource allocation, we hope to have 4 this year. Just as an example, Honorable Goran offered an opportunity to attend the parliamentary policy work that was funded by UNESCO. That's an example of an activity which can be done in collaboration with the multilateral, and there are many others of that nature. And then annual bursaries, now if we move to research development support, that are provided, 3,100. We hope we will meet the target. Annual bursaries awarded to pipeline students, so these are postgraduate honors students, 10,800, planned for 18-19. Total number of graduates and students placed in DSD-funded work, so these are interns, 790 planned for this year, and the annual research grants, infrastructure grants, 30 this year. On making sure that there is broadband capacity for institutions to collaborate internally and internationally, we hope to continue to make sure that there is 3,400 gigabits per second that is provided to the institutions. And then on the number of researchers awarded research grants through NRF managed programs, not less than 4,500. On the number of research articles published by NRF researchers and cited in the Thomson Reuters Web of Science citation, so again, 7,000, just as an indication that these are good quality publications. And then on the SKA, we hope to have all the 64 antenna commissioned for a single polarization array by the end of this year. So now it's not just the dishes, but to have the receivers installed so that you can begin to point the antennas onto the sky and start to do science. On the biennial report, we are hoping to develop the second biennial report on the state of climate change, science and technology in South Africa to Cabinet this year. Number of participants, as I've indicated, we want to continue to target about 2.1 million participants through a number of initiatives, science centers, Science Week, and so forth. And then on program five, on the knowledge products and innovation for inclusive development publication six for this year, and then the number of decision support interventions introduced and maintained, we hope to have 10 this year. 45 learning intervention seminars generated this year, 9, mainly the work that is done by the Human Sciences Research Council, and then on the number of honors, masters, and doctoral students that are funded through the funding program 5, 90 this year. Knowledge and innovation products, patterns, prototypes, technology demonstrators, 4 this year, and the number of research graduates fully funded, 242. For this year. On the number of interns fully funded, 126, and number of knowledge and innovation products, 26, and the number of instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and R&D-led industry, 9 this year, and innovation support interventions that we fund, 8 planned for the year. And then on the number of statistical reports, these include R&D survey, innovation survey, and others. We're planning to have 6 of these reports and policy briefs approved by ourselves at EXCO and then tabled to Cabinet. And then we are happy to report that this year we hope to achieve the target of having pre-approval decisions provided within 90 days from the date of receipt for 80% of applications received for R&D tax incentive. I assume, Mr. Patel, you have briefed the committee recently where we are with the backlogs on this recently, I think. So just on the APP, Part C links to other plans, of course, we indicated that we are now at the end of the completion of the dishes for the meerkat, and the committee will have an opportunity to go and see the 64 antenna, I think, very, very soon, and the commissioning of the receivers and when they hope to do the first science. And then we also like to indicate to the committee that a number of our entities are due for reviews for 1819. SANSA, CSIR, Human Sciences Research Council, TIA, and the National Advisory Council on Innovation. So again, when these have been reviewed, the committee will have an opportunity to get the reports of what the reviewers are saying. So, if I'm not mistaken, 32, we then have the amendments, yes, which I didn't get. But in order to make it easy for the honorable members, what we did was we circulated, I think, this piece of paper, which was intending to help the committee to see what was the original formulation that we currently have, so that when we indicate these amendments, we are able to see the changes on the amendments on the basis of, so I hope you'll be able to follow then the amendments in relation to the original text. So the first one that we are looking at, proxy indicator number 2, which looks at government-wide medium-term research and development investment framework. This was formulated before as a budget coordination mechanism. Now, we felt that whilst it's a useful formulation, it's probably better to think of this as an investment framework that would be used to guide the investment to the entities, as we've indicated. A proxy indicator number 3 has been removed, and proxy indicator number 4 on this first strategic-oriented outcome goal now reads a tenfold increase in the rand value of partnership between the DST and its entities and the private sector when compared to the investment in 2013. So now we're looking at the amount of the investment that we've been able to attract from the private sector as a result of our own investment. On strategic-oriented, outcome-oriented goal number 2, increased knowledge generation, in most instances what has been inserted here is because of the challenges of accurately formulating these targets, we negotiated with the Auditor General that we insert the not less than, because that helps us to have these numbers as perhaps a minimum. So most of these then in proxy indicator 1, 2, as well as in the next page on human capital development, most of the change is just not less than, in order to address the change of having to accurately respond to this. And then on slide number 68, we are proposing on the proxy indicator number 4 that 3 times the number of masters and PhDs in priority areas identified in both the National Research and Development Strategy and the 10-year Innovation Plan. And then on amendments to a strategic oriented outcome goal where we use knowledge for economic development, we're saying between April 2015 and March, new commercial and industrial financing commitments of 2 billion secured. So here we're looking at securing additional investment for commercializing some of the ideas when it goes into the industrial activity. And then in instances where we've got sector innovation funds, we've thought that total additional revenue of at least 2 billion reported by firms and companies who benefited from the DST, we think this is a better formulation of the activity. On the small medium enterprises, we think the performance of 5,000 SMME enhanced through technology interventions which are funded by ourselves and its entities. So this is mainly the work that we are tracking on the technology stations. On strategic outcome-oriented goal number 5, decision support provided by the DST and its entities makes a demonstrable positive impact. We thought that reads better. And then for proxy indicator number 2, technology-based investment by the DST strengthens local economic development in the 10 municipalities that I indicated before. And then the proxy indicator 3, investment by DST and its entities improves the living standard of 200,000 marginalized or neglected citizens using a number of interventions. And then on the financial overview, again, if we look at the MTEF, the last 3 columns, honorable members would see that our budget grows from 7.5 billion for 17 and 18 up to 8.7 billion in 2021, with an increase of 3.1% in 18-19, 5.9% 19-20, and 5.6% in 2021. And then the next slide just shows how this is allocated per each of the DST programs, slide 73. And on slide number 74, it's the allocation to the entities. And we do alert the members to the decline in 18-19 to the NRF allocation because the National Zoological Gardens has migrated to the South African National Biodiversity Institute, SANBI. So in conclusion, honorable members, we firstly want to again thank you and the minister for the support in our work and that we have started then with tracking the targets we are making this year in relation to the five-year targets. We are embarking on a series of policy interventions to provide a new trajectory for the NSI through the white paper, the decadal plan, and the steel review, and we continue to target getting clean and unqualified audit as a way of demonstrating efficient utilization of resources. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if the chair would like us to highlight the strategic oriented outcome goal 4, which we missed. It's through the chair, and ask Mr. Patel to give us a sense of where we are in relation to the five-year strategic plan targets. Thanks very much.
Mr. Patel.
Thanks, Chair. Before I go into the numbers, just one introductory comment. I think it was the Portfolio Committee report last year, which was sent to the department. The Portfolio Committee identified the importance of having impact indicators, but at the same time the difficulties of constructing these impact indicators. So the economic development indicators was an attempt to move in that direction, and we put ourselves out in terms of challenging ourselves to look at new indicators and measures. So the first indicator on commercial and industrial financing, and that also is why we're suggesting some modifications. The current information we get, we determine this on an annual basis, so most of this we need to wait for the annual reports from the entities and from the CSR and our projects to come through. Those projects that we have more direct control over, like titanium, etc., we have a sense of whether there's commercial financing coming in. The current declared industrial and commercial financing, which we still need to double-check and validate from our side and make sure that they're aligned to what we're talking about, is about 750 million. I'm not too comfortable with that number currently because I need to see which are the big projects that we needed to do, and part of it is on commitment. So some of this financing is not immediately into the system. If there's an initiative that takes many, many years to develop, like titanium, I mean, that plant will take, you know, 10 years if it's successful. The cost of that 10 years would be secured, for example, once, and we would then have an estimation. So it's about 750 million rands that the team is estimating, which we need to validate over the next 2 to 3 months as we finalize our annual report for last year. In terms of the small and medium enterprises, the numbers that we have from our big programs, and what we did last year is we had asked particularly TIA, because we have tightened up our definitions in line with what small business development is coming up with, etc., and we'd ask them to go back and look at all of the numbers and make sure that we have validated that. As at the end of last year, our big programs, the technology stations and the tech localization program, the industrial innovation partnership program like the BIDC, etc., collectively we're estimating about 3,500 SMMEs, at least 3,500 SMMEs that in one way or the other have received support. Again, we need to validate these numbers as we get the annual report from the big programs, the tech stations, the tech localization, etc. And then finally, there was an indicator that we were trying to measure to look at companies who declare that their revenue has increased as a result of our support. And this is mainly our tech localization program, a bit from our IIP and our tech stations program, because it's quite difficult to collect information. But in the tech stations, in the tech localization program, they do this. They provide support. They go back to the company after a year or two and say, tell us what increased revenue have you managed to achieve. The estimate that we have currently, again, that we're validating and double-checking, is 600 million. So the target in the previous, in the original five-year strategic plan was 500 million rands. This is now, we have sense it's 600 million rands. And we've tested some of this because we've gone to individual companies and asked them this year. So that's why we also talk about increasing that target over the five-year period. And it's a very good measure to sell the work that we're doing, because it shows up in real company revenue increases. These are companies that are making additional money because they've either gone to the IP or the taxation, etc. So in summary, we're looking at about 3.5 on SMMEs, 750 on industrial financing, and about 600 million rands on company revenue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patel. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Minister, for the presentation and also explaining some of the issues as we're going along. I will now open for members to engage. Honorable Goranov, Dr. Lodret.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. I've got three questions. The one is, on when can we expect now finally to have the white paper released? I think it's in the 11th draft. It's a little bit of a slow birth. And, you know, there's various models how you do a white paper. You normally use outside people, but DSD have decided to do it sort of in-house, you know, but, you know, and it is slow now. So can we have some sort of a time frame when will it happen? And then also, you've mentioned STIL. Now, that was, I'm not sure what is STIL supposed to do, but was it not part that was an initiative to make sure what belongs to DSD comes to DSD? And if that was the initiative, my question was there any inputs from STIL into the white paper? If not, please do it, because I think you're going to need that. And then on NACI, NACI is a little bit out in the woods. I think they're struggling to understand their own brief. But this decadal plan, what is that? Will that help them eventually? And then on THRIP. Now, THRIP is with DTI. Now, THRIP is definitely the link between industry and science. So just my plea to DSD, just make sure THRIP is coming to DSD as soon as possible. And then finally, on the HSRC, you know, it is a fantastic entity. So is CSIRR. But HSRC is gradually doing more commercial consultancy work, trying to get their revenue to pay for salaries. Now, and they definitely getting into, they're not always getting the support from government to ask to do their work. They're doing less and less research for government, you know, because of that. And my point is, I think they in sort of direct competition with universities. Now, they are sailing very close to the wind that a debate will open for how long can you use treasury funds to fund them. And, you know, I just want to ask, you know, is that a debate with the DST? Because it is, you know, the brand, it's a fantastic brand, you know. We should not lose them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Koronov, Dr. Lodret.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for the presentation. I would just like to start by saying to the Minister that the budget problem has been the mantra for this committee. We've been very aware of this for the past few budgets, and we fully agree with that. And in that light, I would just ask the DG, you refer to a growing vacancy rate. Now, that is extremely concerning given the budget constraints there are. Could you give us an indication of are there many senior researchers, positions that are being vacant, and how do you plan on dealing with that, because that can have a serious impact on your performance. And then you also refer to the budget coordination mechanism that was approved by Cabinet. Could you perhaps just give us a bit more of an idea of to what extent is this now being implemented, or does it play a role? And you also refer to, in the sense, the funding for science councils. Could you perhaps just elaborate a bit more on that? Thank you.
September, why?
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I would have started by asking the first question that was asked in connection with the white paper release, but since it has been asked, I'm not going to talk about that. Our minister made mention of the engagement of a number of entities, but most important was that the NRF hasn't been engaged so far, and the minister mentioned that the discussion will take place later on. But my question would be, since the DST programs, the 1, 2, 3, the 5 plan, as it is reflected in slide 6, one of them that is very important, number 4, the research, development and support, which is also very important and interlinked to the NRF also. And it is also supported by the presentation also by the DG on a slide on page 25 under a research program 4, where mention is made under performance indicator and specifically a total number given of researchers awarded the research grants specifically through NRF. And lastly also on page 27, still under the same program 4 of research development and support, also mention is made in the reflect in the project reports of NRF and other service providers. So my question would be, why can't it be engaged now, so that in the coming report that you have, then you also include the involvement of the NRF, as according to me is very much important, especially as you are dealing with the PhD students' production. And then the second question is based on slide 19, page 10. Strategic outcome oriented goal 3, where the goal statement reads, over the next 5 years, increase the number of high-level graduates and improve their representativity. Against what our minister has said, where mention was made of the blanket approach of cutting budget by the national treasury. Just to ask and say, the statement on the slide 19 vis-a-vis the statement as it was done, the cutting approach, how are you able to reach this goal? It's increasing the number of high level graduates against the blanket approach of cutting budget by the National Treasury. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Fine. I also want to thank the minister for the input that you gave, and also the DG. I think I've been covered, because most of the issues I wanted to raise have been raised by honourable members. But also on the issues of the increase in the new targets, if you show that they'll be achieved, because some of them you're doubling from what you had, and also when you strive to get the clean audit and not achieving those targets, it then works against you while you had good intentions. And I know in my previous life I even cried when the AG did not give us a clean audit. And I just want to find out also on the policies, the white paper and the science and technology, proposed amendments, bill and stuff, with the envisaged long recess after, I think we need to have like proper deadlines so that you can properly plan as a committee, take into account that most of the year, part of like almost 3 months, we will not be around. And also lastly, just to find out on the governance issues that were raised by the AG, if you are able to deal with them and incorporate them in the new APPs. But also on the proposed changes that you raised on the separate paper, DG. I'm not sure on the oriented goal number 5 and the proxy indicator number 2 on the technology-based opportunities for local economic development introduced. Did you say 10 municipalities? I see it's 5, but I thought I heard you saying 10. It's almost on the page, I think it's page 6. Page 6, yeah. Yeah, I think mainly those were my concerns. Page 6 on the separate.
I can respond, did you?
And also the open science. You think by when do you think you can make a presentation thereof? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll start and then the team will answer to the other questions. Just on the white paper process, we're done with the white paper. We're meeting with the team next week, Tuesday, to finalise, because there were inputs that had been received. We dealt with it in our Triple M meeting between Minister and EXCO. We went through, there were just one or two things that we needed to clear, which I think we almost done. Part of the discussion, Honourable Kuranov, was also the institutional landscape issues, that do we put them in the white paper pronouncements or do we put them in a separate document? So we had to sort that out. One of the other recommendations that we needed to sort out was the role of the presidency, because some of the inputs received was reflecting on that. So we needed to look at how, what mechanisms that would not collapse us as science and technology, but equally that would be meaningful to respond to what has been raised in the comments that we had received. So that is also almost done. I've consulted with the Deputy President last week. We are meeting with the team to finalize that. We should be able to get within the next 2 weeks into Cabinet done. One of the things that we had agreed with the team, the executive team, we've agreed that once we are done from Cabinet, we're going to call a summit that will engage with the document as well, as part of broadly making sure that we take everybody on board on what we are proposing. Again, the same thing with the Science and Technology Laws Amendment Bill. We are concluding it next week. It's almost done. On Tuesday, we will conclude it. In the next coming 2 weeks, it will go into Cabinet system. And then too, we have missed this term, Honourable Maseko, I think we must accept. It's going to be budget vote processes, we accept that. We looking at your next term when you come back from the recess, that you'd be able to have it. But by that time, we'd have done, I think, by end of May, first week of June, we'd have done our cabinet processes. We don't think we'll have difficulties there, but because you would be, Parliament will be on recess, so we're targeting when you come back for the third term, that will have it before the committee. and both actually the documents, but we think that the committee will be invited in the summit, so you would not be able to deal with it outside. In terms of the policy process, I was actually sharing with the team that white paper policy, we normally don't bring it, we don't table it for Parliament to approve, but we share with the portfolio committee so that they know where we are. And then out of that, then we'll, it's only when we do the amendments of the legislations that would have identified through the white paper that will bring them to the committee. So we think we'll engage, and then if out of the summit as well, the committee feels that we need a specific either a hearing, either a specific engagement with the committee separately as a workshop or something, we'll be ready to do that, Chair. So we are confident that will be done. I mean, this also, we had an engagement with NACI, maybe I didn't highlight. Also, one of the things that we are prioritizing is the appointment of the CEO at NACI. We have done the shortlisting because it's led by the minister. We will be interviewing the next 2 weeks. We have an engagement with the chair of the board. And one of the things that we are doing, Chair, as part of institutional memory, those that come or entities that their board is coming to an end, and where we're getting indication that the board members or either the chair or somebody is not available to be retained, we're doing interviews as well. We've said to DDG Tommy that let's do some evaluation where they give us feedback on the things, you know, institutional memory. What has worked, what has not worked, what is it that they are recommending going forward. We take cognizance, and we think that will help us in ensuring stability in our entities. So that has been done. So the work that is being done currently with the NACI panel of review, they are interviewing everybody, and we're hoping that within the coming month, which is by June, when we met with the chair of NACI, said to us by June there will be, they are hoping that the report will be done, they can look at it and hand it over before the term of this current board comes to an end. And that is also looking in the work that the decadal plan is doing. We will input into that, and once we are done, chair, we'll come back. I think those are the things that I wanted to highlight. Indeed, honourable member Goranov, you raised the issue of HSRC. One of the issues for me with that entity is that, if you remember, over past years, it had taken center stage, in even in debates, in the public discourse. And one of the things we have engaged is to say, how do we? So we've committed to working together, to working in such a way that we bring it to the center of debate. The reason, you've got to make yourself relevant for people to utilize you. That's my view. Now, we need to have the entity back into the center stage, like what we have with SSA, where everybody knows, for us to know what is happening in terms of statistics of South Africa. When they speak, even a person who doesn't understand statistics, but you hear ordinary South Africans quoting SSA, to say, okay, because they have become a reliable voice. And this is what we want to do with HSRC. Bring them back to the fourth in terms of driving dialogue on critical areas, researching critical areas that affects government and the country. Because in that way, they will become the voice that people would want to utilize to say, once you do your research, when it comes from HSRC, everybody's going to listen, especially because they're dealing with critical things that we are battling with, the issues of inequality, the issue, and they have capacity to help us shape the dialogue, shape the public discourse, and as well giving us indicators that will help us to find solutions. They have just indicated that they've done a good research around health. They will be coming out in public very soon and driving that dialogue. So we're hoping that that is not only the only area that they are going to help us with, but will do. And they're doing a lot of work, but I think the issue is for them, their communication platform and their communication strategy needs to be uplifted to be able to take that center stage. I think that's the issue that I wanted to raise. Other matters are going to be discussed with. Okay, the issue around NRF, Honorable Temekwai, the work between the department and the entity continues. So at the level of officials, technically there is that engagement. TDG responsible, Thomas, does that constantly, works with them. The issue what I was reflecting from a point of a ministerial level, as the executive leading, we are pending that discussion. At the time we had scheduled meetings, they were not available. So it's just to synchronize the availability. We're hoping the team is working out what needs to be done. Within the coming 2 to 3 weeks, we will be meeting with them. I just felt that it wouldn't be correct for me to have a reflection on them as the executive authority without having shared my views with the team. But from a technical point of view, the work that is there is continuing. For me, it's about reflection going forward, what we need to be able to do, how do we enhance the work that the technical teams are doing so that we can be able to, and the support, because the meetings that we have, it's a conversation, it's a two-way. They give feedback in terms of what they think we should improve in supporting them, the things that we should be able to do, and equally from our side, we give feedback to say, these are the things that sometimes we battle with, or these are the things that we think they should be able to do better. I can share with others because we've had that conversation, because we've reached an agreement with them on the observations that we have. Because sometimes we might have observations, but once you have that dialogue, the observations might change. So it's better to have such after you have engaged with the team. I think DG, you can, and the team can respond to others in terms of the work.
Before you come in, DG, I just forgot something. You know, on SONA, when the president said that our prosperity as a nation depends on the ability to take full advantage of rapid technology change, and that this means that we urgently need to develop our capacities in the areas of science, technology, and innovation. So just to find out how you have incorporated that, because it is important, and it was good to have it in SONA. And I just also forgot to ask on program 3, you know, sometimes you find that this is the area, the program that you usually do not achieve because of outside, and for instance, if there's need to be payment or signing of documents, you find that those other partners that you have from outside are the ones who let you down, or are slow, or are not as, doesn't see it as urgent as ourselves. So on that particular, what is it that you have done? But also the on the fourth industrial revolution, I'd asked Minister the other time when you were not here, when you rushed back to cabinet, that you once presented a very great paper on that, with the genesis actually of the fourth industrial revolution, that maybe at some stage if you could share that with us. And and fortunately the minister's previous life, she dealt with that, so it rhymes well for her to do that. And one thing that we have always done and we continue is the issue of the 1.5% of the GDP, so that it can, for the R&D, which is what the NDP says, which we, as a committee, we keep on pushing for, and we hope that it will be taken seriously. And the issue of science and technology doing work, you raised the matter of CSIR being paid back, because I think other departments, if they have to do any moving of funds, they take from R&D. And we, as a committee, a portfolio committee also, we're pushing for a separate vote on R&D, so that then everybody, it's from a central point, so that then they don't ask for this work to be done from science and technology, and then they will pay them as and when they have and stuff like that. Thank you very much. Sorry to delay that.
Let me just deal with the issue of the fourth industrial revolution. I think the team did indicate, and we wanted to update, I'll just make sure, because there's quite a number of information that I've been going through recently, and I wanted to update because I've done quite a lot of reading around it. We're co-chairing the economic cluster, but on the work of government on the fourth industrial revolution is led by DTPS. We're supporting a science and technology from the side of research and development, so we do have a critical role to play. But just I'll make sure that this week I update it, because there's quite a number of things that we can be able to bring forth into that. Because at that time, I just focused specifically on to the women, because I was addressing the Commonwealth women parliamentarians. So I'd like to just bring it a bit broader for the portfolio, so that we incorporate even the impact to youth and the opportunities that exist to it. Because there are quite a number, because if you look at it, there are quite a number of opportunities that exist. And there's been quite a lot of work that has been done on specifically as African South Africa that we can do to take advantage of the fourth industrial revolution, so that we don't see it as a challenge and the weaknesses, but see as one of the tools to be able to sort out. I know the mining industry is going to be affected a lot, but the ability of the technology to assist us to go and dig deeper where human beings can go, the impact thereof, and how you can be able to deal with the issues of the retraining. So we'll update what I have. There's quite a number of data that has come through, and quite a lot of information that I would want to share with the team. My apology, but I commit to finishing this week for you, Chair.
No, thanks very much, Honourable Chair, Minister and Members. I'd like to alert the DDGs on maybe some responses that they can give members, so that we didn't pay the tickets for them to come here and not talk. So Thomas has been, I think, at the forefront of the science, technology and institutional landscape work. So I would ask him, Honorable Korenoff, to perhaps talk about the original intention. And I think your second part of the question is, how does it synchronize with what the white paper wants to signal? And then I will probably say a few words about the decadal plan and its intention and how we see it being developed immediately after the white paper. Not so sure whether I'll be able to comment on the THRIP link, because my view would be very biased. So, yes, but we will comment about how I think we are working with them in this period after I think they have reformulated, I think, the intentions of THRIP. Minister has commented on the HSRC, so we will not come back to that. And then Honourable Letrit will probably, I think there are two issues on the vacancy rate. There are vacancy rate in relation to the department, but also how that impacts, I think, on your question about the researchers out there and how they are impacted by this. So we could comment on both. And then I'll ask Mr. Patel to talk about the budget coordination and investment framework, where we are and its intention, and how it's going to perhaps be, just linking to the comment made by the chairperson, we see it as a precursor to the science vote, if that's where collectively we would like to go. But I'll ask him to respond to that. Honourable Thembe, I think we will talk about perhaps the second part of your question to the Minister about the issues of targets, especially around issues of transformation. So we'll ask Thomas to talk about the ministerial guidelines, how we set the targets, and which we are tracking, and then perhaps we can talk about the new transformation framework that I think the NRF is embarking on as part of addressing, I think, the representativity issue. And then, Honourable Chair, on the targets, not many of them are being increased, but it's just a better articulation of them, but I think that's it. And then the steel and the white paper time frames, the minister has talked about that. I'll ask Tommy to talk about issues raised by AG. And then maybe Imran, if he wants to correct the issues on the strategic oriented outcome called 5 proxy 2. And then I will come back and talk about the SONA issues from the president, and how we're doing that. So with your permission then, maybe let's ask Thomas to address the steel issues as well as the transformational issues at the NRF, and then Mr. Patel to talk about the budget coordination and the strategic oriented outcome goals, and then I'll come and wrap up with the other two. Thanks.
Thank you, DG, and the honourable members for the questions that they've asked. On the honourable Kornhoff's question around the science, technology and innovation institutional landscape study, this was a report that the Minister Pandor commissioned from a team of people, all external to the department. That team was established as a committee in November 2015, and they were asked to complete their work by April 2017, so they were given about 18 months or so to do their work. And the specific request was for them to identify what gaps there are in the institutional landscape for public research institutions in South Africa, firstly, and secondly, to identify a model for public research institutions. Those were the words used in the terms of reference. And this reference to a model for public research institutions has two elements to it. The one is, what should be the structure and function generically of a public research institution? And secondly, how should the system of public research institutions be knitted together and coordinated? So there were two elements to it. And these were the tasks that were set to that ministerial commission. By December 2017, that team produced a report which showed that they'd spent a lot of time working and thinking and talking to each other, but they weren't really making much progress in addressing the minister's very specific questions. Over the period of that commission's life, a number of the members also, for a range of reasons known to them, found they were unable to continue working with the team, pressures of work, whatever. And also in December 2017, just after submission of this report, the chair of the committee also resigned the chairship. The minister then asked me in January to convene this panel and complete the work as best we could by April, which we did. We published a report, and as the DG indicated, in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, we'll be briefing you on the outcome of that, on the report in there. So, but just to briefly preempt that presentation, we were not able to complete in the period of time that I had with the panel the full brief from the minister. So there wasn't a, shall we say, a list of public research institutions identified which South Africa over the medium to long term should consider establishing, bearing in mind the growth in the scientific enterprise in South Africa, as well as bearing in mind the needs of post-apartheid South Africa, because our institutional landscape is still premised very much on the needs of apartheid South Africa. We have not really established many new institutions in the context of post-apartheid South Africa. So that's the broad context for this. And so the idea is to develop this roadmap, which over a medium to long term would then be taken forward by government, the Department of Science and Technology, and others in establishing new public research institutions to strengthen certain areas of research and innovation, as well as create new opportunities for the PhD graduates that the universities are increasingly producing. So the report, I think, did make some use, did take this debate forward. It codified a number of assumptions and ideas that had circulated at that time, in particular this point that we simply don't have enough public research institutions. Everybody says it, but nobody's written down and argued the point this document does that. So I think it has taken the debate forward, but not as far as the minister and the department had hoped at the time. So we are currently now finalizing an outline of a project that would take this work that had been done by that panel to the next stage, which is to identify a roadmap of for the establishment of new public research institutions. Now, this is clearly, honourable members and the minister, chair, not something that can have these institutions would not be established over the next 18 months. This is a long-term project, but we need to put together such a roadmap. So we're busy finalising right now a proposal, a project on how to do that, how to put together such a roadmap by identifying the gaps in the institutional landscape at the moment, and then also identifying what types of institutions one might want to establish, because they don't all have to be national research foundations with all the massive costs associated with that. There's a wide range of different typologies that can be utilized. So we will need to look at what are the needs, what is already in the system, and how best does one pull those together to increase the economy of scale and the critical mass. So that is the project and where we're going with it. Now, clearly, there is a link between this project and the white paper and the decadal plan. The white paper does draw from the report, the Steele report, and at a high level, it includes the recommendations and the challenges identified in the Steele report. They have been included at a high level in the white paper. As the decadal plan gets developed, as it begins to identify at the program and implementation level specific interventions, so the next phase of the Steele report will need to inform that, and the decadal plan will need to inform the Steele report. In the Steele work, for example, we will need to identify what are the key sectors in which we need public research institutions, so we can ask the question, do we have public research institutions? The decadal plan will need to do that as well through the foresight exercise. The decadal plan will have to identify what are the key sectors that we need to strengthen science and technology in South Africa. So the development of an institutional landscape and the development of the decadal plan through the foresight exercise will have to inform each other. We can't wait for one to be finished before starting the other. They'll need to inform each other. So, DG, I think that's, at this point, perhaps a sufficient response to Honourable Kunhoff. And as I said, I'll be coming back to the committee in 2 or 3 weeks' time with a little more detail on the Steele report. And at that stage, we might also be able to, DG, then I think, present a little bit more ideas on how we're going to move forward on this. The Honourable Tim McGuire, your questions revolved around how do we project our targets around human resource development, around student development, given the financial situation and the MTIF constraints. So there are a number of things the DG has asked me to comment on. So first of all, the Honourable Member wasn't yet in the committee at that time, but in the early stage of this 5-year strategic plan, Treasury in fact injected a significant amount of new money into our human resource development allocation. I think we got 350 million rand injected into the baseline for our bursary program. It allowed a significant expansion at that time in the number of bursaries that the department can award through the National Research Foundation. And I'm very happy to report that that amount has not been eroded since then. So that amount is still in our baseline. It increases every year by the percentage that the Treasury allocations increase by. So I think, and Treasury, I know, is very sensitive to this particular allocation and is working very hard to try and increase it. So I know from my engagement with Treasury officials that they're very serious about ensuring that allocation remains or grows. So we're quite confident about that. Now, of course, although that allocation grows by a certain amount each year, the students' needs grow at a faster rate because, unfortunately, our allocations haven't grown at the same pace as the cost of living for the students. And so in real terms, we need to increase the cost of the bursaries, or the per capita amount of the bursaries has to be increased each year. So it is a struggle to keep the number of bursaries going up with a very slow rate of increase in the bursary allocation that we get. But we've managed to achieve that reasonably well over the last few years. Now, the way that we project that, Honourable Tembe Kwayo and the other members of the committee, is that we know through the National Research Foundation what is the average per capita cost to the bursary program of a student that they support. And so we use that, and we use the total allocation that is awarded to then model how many bursaries will we be able to afford at that level over the next MTEF period. And that's essentially how the modeling gets done. And the National Research Foundation, they will be briefing the committee tomorrow, so you can ask them this question as well. They have been fairly successful in raising additional funds for bursaries besides the treasury allocation which they get from us. So I think it's First Rand. Is it First Rand? They've gotten a significant amount of money from First Rand for new bursaries. They have also been able to leverage money out of the Scarce Skills Fund through consultation with the Department of Higher Education and Training, which the Department of Higher Education and Training has set aside now for, I think, honors and master's students, which these funds are now also being administered through the National Research Foundation as part of the Postgraduate Student Bursary Fund. So the NRF has been fairly good at finding other sources of money in addition to our allocation. So through a combination of this, we've been able to keep these numbers going, despite the fact that the costs of doing so are increasing. Then the second part that the DG asked me to talk about was how do we manage and monitor the transformation issues related to the allocation of bursaries and the transformation of the student cohort. The members of the committee may recall that the minister several years ago issued what we've called ministerial guidelines to the National Research Foundation, which set out guidelines for the demographic distribution of the funds that are awarded to students. And we review the NRF's performance against this every year. It provides for guidelines for honor students, for master's students, for PhDs, both racial as well as gender demographics. And in many of these categories, the NRF has managed now to achieve these guidelines, but in one or two of them they haven't. So I think the number of black PhD students, for example, is not yet quite what we need it to be, but at the master's and the honors level, I think it's been achieved. So, and we monitor this every year. We get a comprehensive report from them. We engage with them on it and then report to the minister on it. In addition to that, the DG has already indicated the National Research Foundation has begun developing a so-called transformation framework. Again, they will probably brief you on this tomorrow, where they look at different aspects of their business. Students are one of them. The researcher cohort is another, especially the emerging researcher cohort is a second component of this transformation framework. A third component has to do with the NRF's own staff, their own demographics, their own transformation process within the organization. And the third one has to do with transforming the knowledge enterprise. So it's not just about demographics of the people who do research, but it's also about what kind of research and how it's done, because the issue of transformation must be applied to that as well. And they're developing this transformation framework in pieces. The first one that they've completed so far is the student one, and we've had a significant engagement with them on this and have provided a lot of feedback from the department on this framework to them. So this is work in progress, and in my view, it is the development of this transformation framework in the National Research Foundation is a significant step forward in the way that the National Research Foundation deals with transformation issues, and provides us a really good opportunity to engage them on this in a focused and informed way. Thank you.
Thanks, DG, and Minister. Just two questions. Let me start with the one that's quicker, that was raised by the Chair about the target. It was DG one of the targets that we doubled, but there's in doubling it, we also modified the word distressed. We've taken out distressed, because at the time when we set the target, there was this program being led by Department of Rural Development around what was called the rural universities. That language has changed now. Distress has many different meanings, the AG report, etc. So very difficult then to go back to another list and say these are distressed municipalities. So we're looking at all of our work in municipalities, and that's why the target is 10. So in terms of the current target, yes, we were in 5. But in terms of the new target, for example, we'll be working with multiple municipalities in the Karoo region as an example. So that's why the 10 is now just municipalities, not distressed municipalities. And the target has been doubled. The second question was around the budget coordination process, just where we are. Just to remind the committee on the exact approval that Cabinet provided. What Cabinet provided was the implementation of a budget coordination mechanism over a number of years. I mean, that's quite important in terms of how you take this forward, because we don't have the concept of a vote or any legislative background. So what we need to do is make an accommodation in the existing budget process for us to look at research and development. So this multi-year process started last year, and we had very good engagements with Treasury, but what was clear from our engagements last year, which was the first year that we could have implemented this budget coordination process, was two things. The first was that there was very little flexibility in the budget process of last year to think about a budget coordination process that would take us forward in a significant way, because funding was tight. And in fact, the Treasury officials, because they don't have dedicated officials who are focusing on this work, were needing to deal with our ratings downgrade, et cetera. And there was just, so what we had agreed at that point in time is that we would start, and the second thing that we picked up from that engagements with the Treasury, and we had a joint workshop where there were a number of Treasury officials, was that the understanding of Treasury on the R&D issues was not necessarily, they didn't have deep understanding of how this R&D system worked and how the funding flows worked, etc. So what we then did is we commissioned the technical advisory unit within Treasury. We did a joint study, DST and National Treasury, to understand the status of R&D and science and technology funding, looking at our own STA report, but other reports, etc. They have a methodology that Treasury officials are very familiar with, so they understand the language. It's called a performance expenditure review. So we've done a performance expenditure review, and in fact that report was delivered to us about a month and a half ago, and we've worked on it as the program, and we were supposed to have had a discussion on it at our executive committee, but we had a very packed agenda, and DG felt we needed a detailed discussion. So at our next EXCO, which is in a week's time, that would be the first item for discussion. So we have a report which tries to give some sense of how this works, and some recommendations on how to improve budget coordination from the perspective of even thinking about how you do budget information on the R&D side. So that's where we're at. This year, we've already started the work. We need to do a couple of things. The first is that we had, through the advice of the DG as well, said it's very important to get a counterpart in Treasury who you can work with very closely. So we formally wrote, and we were assigned a counterpart, which was the DDG, who subsequently resigned and is now at Gauteng. So we need to re-establish who's our counterpart, because we spent a lot of time trying to get on the same page around this year. The DG has also changed, and the minister has changed since we started this discussion. So the idea is we would remind Treasury that this is a joint piece of work at all levels, from the minister's level, so we need to get, at least as a start, the DDG counterpart. So that is underway. We had a workshop last week, which was very useful. In fact, it was a workshop looking at our surveys with government departments. But there were Treasury officials there, including our budget officer, as well as the presidency as an example. And what came out of that workshop was the need to think about, there was support, very broad support, that we needed to increase R&D expenditure, and people understood the difficulties, including, for example, the challenge that our entities are facing, where people have to go out for tender for work that should be done by the agency. So there was a bit of acceptance of this issue. What was agreed on is that we need to think about the interface between the budget coordination process and the budget mandate process. And in fact, we've made a kind of an urgent submission to look at how we bring R&D into that. This was between Friday and yesterday. We took the opportunity. Rudy said, I'm working on the budget paper. Give me something. How would we interface it? So I haven't seen what Godfrey has submitted, but we've tried to submit something. So we're trying to do that at that level. And this is the key, and let me leave it at this. The big debate is, how do you approach a budget coordination mechanism? The one is to kind of deal with it in the normal way. The other is to do what they do with infrastructure, where as a country, you determine a percentage, or what I call a budget envelope. And once you've established a budget envelope over the medium term, that's when Treasury and DST can then go into it and say, if this is the budget envelope, and hopefully it's an increasing budget envelope, where would you deploy these precious resources taking into account? Is it on infrastructure? Is it on human capital development? In which areas, etc.? So hopefully the decadal plan then will become the basis to do this. So we're starting the budget process for this year is now started, and we are having discussions with Treasury at the very technical level. How do we, for example, include it in the budget guideline documents, etc., on how this would work?
You told me just quickly on the AG issues raised and how we've dealt with those.
Thanks, DG and Chair and the Minister. So Chair, the issues that were raised by the AG were mainly related to lack of evidence to support performance information, and not related to governance issues. And therefore, what is it that we have done to ensure that we respond adequately to these issues that were raised by the AG? We have done a number of things, Chairperson. One was to introduce what is known as a declaration form that each chief director has to sign to say the information that I've provided to Dr. Radombo sitting behind my back on performance information is accurate, it's correct, and I've analyzed it. So they sign that declaration form before they submit. The second thing that the DG has done was to introduce the compact between the DDGs and the DG himself in terms of performance information. And the third area that we've introduced is that our own internal audits looks at this performance information before it's actually, once it's uploaded onto our own internal system known as Alfresco, where they do not find the evidence to support it, they raise that with the programs. And of course, we did indicate to the committee the last time that we're here that we have now introduced a document on roles and responsibilities to speak specifically to performance information. These are the issues that we have done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We do want to wrap up. We are trying to improve our engagement with the funders from overseas to optimize the proof of evidence for the information for Program 3. We do eventually get it, but you're right. I mean, we can find a better way of accelerating that the information comes to us. And then I just wanted to comment on the... We are of the opinion that the comment made by the President allows us to perhaps approach the importance of science and technology at different levels. We are very grateful that our Minister is a co-chair for the economic sectors, employment and infrastructure. And then she's also, I think, involved in chairing another economic committee elsewhere. So we're going to use these platforms to try and advance, I think, the discussions on the role of science, technology, and innovation. In government, as Imran has indicated, we are really identifying key departments that have an interest in advancing this. The Minister has said on the fourth industrial revolution, for instance, we're working closely with GTPS, so we're working closely with the presidency on this mandate paper to make sure that the funding in the mandate paper is this horizontal cross-cutting budget that is not really affected. And then we are also working fairly closely now, almost, I think, institutionalized, working with the Department of Trade and Industry on how the industrial policy action plan and science and technology have to support one another. So we use different, vehicles to try and do that. And hopefully, if the recommendations in the white paper are going to be implemented, this proposal of having minister suggested a plenary, perhaps chaired by the deputy president, where you bring the private sector, all the public sector, both institutions and government in one place for commitments on science and technology budget, as well as the uptake of technology. So, as I say, it's a multiple set of strategies. And maybe lastly, grateful for the work that the committee is doing to get a science vote. We'll be delighted if that could happen, hopefully in our lifetime. And maybe lastly from me, just to again thank the minister for extending my contract for another 3 years. I'm grateful for that. And of course, all the work is done by the team as well, so the team also gets the accolade. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you, Minister, and thanks for all the responses. Just in conclusion, to say that we on the cut off on the budget, the issues that the minister raised, that as a committee we also committed to help where we can to ensure that these cuts do not engaging or. And so that these cuts do not affect the strategic plans and the annual performance plans of the department. And also, Minister, on the issues of it's very encouraging that you have engaged with the entities, because also you're exercising oversight over them and ensuring accountability. We welcome that, and you know, when it comes to CSIR, they've got this program of incubation, and we're very impressed with the products that come out of there. But then CSIR, that would tick their box, they've done the incubation, and that's it. And those people that were incubated, or companies, or whatever, those small companies, they get stuck. They do not have the market. So also it's a plea that if the minister could also engage with the Minister of Small Business and Trade and Industry, so that then we ensure we want government, we have the same objective, that there should be this conveyor belt after incubation, small business takes them, and then trade and industry. That would really welcome that, and would like to welcome the fact that with the issues raised by the AG, there's a declaration that is signed, because usually you find that the DG sits with the responsibility and the blame, usually. And the culprits are sitting there comfortably. Minister, in my previous life, I used to include it in their performance plans. So you take it out and you put it there and you sign a contract, and if you don't perform, it affects your bonus. So it, unless, of course, if it is beyond the responsible person's control. But I think we welcome that, and I think also the AG would welcome that. So once again, Minister, with also the issues that you have raised, it will be easier also to engage the entities when they come and raise the some of the issues that you have raised, your concerns and stuff like that. But we'd like to thank you for taking time, coming here, explaining issues, your concern, your maiden science and technology budget vote. But we're really impressed with your performance so far. Hands-on, and please continue doing that. I've known you for that, and I know that you'll ensure that this department continues to be on that trajectory that it has set itself, and you also ensuring all the accountability by all. And DG, also thank you for your formidable team and the work that you're doing. And as a committee, we all ready at all times to engage. And thank you very much, members of the committee, for your vigorous oversight responsibility in all that. And lastly, before we, because we come to the end of the meeting, is just to inform the members that I've had an engagement with the House Chair Froelich on our matters, and maybe sometimes here there's not much time to engage, so we met at the funeral and we had a meeting, but it looks like we might be able to undertake a study tour this year. So I'm working with him on that, and we'll brief you on the developments. Thank you very much. Minister, we had put in a proposal to go to Japan, because there is also a program that is linked, and we last year we missed it, and so we think that it will be approved this time, and we wanted to link that to South Korea, but we'll see what is approved. But thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned. We will be meeting tomorrow. S12A. Yeah. Shanaz will send a reminder. S12A. Thank you very much, honorable members.